CliffCentral.com.
Yes, sir. Thursday morning, CliffCentral.com. What's a happening? How's that for what's happening? Nice, huh? What do you think? Is that the way you greet people in the morning? The first thing you do? Is you, that's powerful, huh? What do you think of that?
Coronavirus.
Coronavirus. We haven't heard that in such a long time. Listen, lucky you get to share in all my my sneezing and coughing this morning. But I'm not sick. It's a hay fever thing. It's spring. So there's obviously, and I know that there are plenty of people who hate this time of year. I mean, I love it, even if I do sneeze a bit. Love it because it's so beautiful. Oh, my God. Everything's starting to look its best.
Yes.
Flowers and birds.
I had dinner last night with the sliding doors open. It's like the first night when it's actually nice and warm.
Beautiful. That's nice. Mm-hmm. I like that. Sure. And the air is not cold. It's not freezing cold on you. So you don't feel like you're a prey animal and that the environment is trying to kill you. So what's happening, Pinkster? Look at Pinky. She's looking fresh and full of life this morning. Mbulelo's here. And Sia's here.
Yeah, and new hair, don't curl.
Yeah, new hairstyle. What do you guys think?
Was your hair dry and damaged by any chance beforehand?
Actually,
you know, I got into my shower this morning, and guess what? My shampoo is
Tresemme.
Yes, and for dry and damaged. Seriously, it's. In fact, I'll go and fetch it if you want me to prove it. I think you got to take a picture of me with it later on, Bulelo. But clearly that one was, you know, I was buying in the wrong race row of the shop. So now I'm in trouble.
Gareth, to save your soul, just don't.
Yeah, but now I'm all pissed off because now apparently if that is my shampoo, and I hadn't even realized, like I just bought the one, I buy by color. You know, I'm like I'm like a stupid child. Mom, I want the red one. So I go into the shop and I buy this big, it's like, what, almost a liter of the stuff.
Yeah.
I buy the big black bottle, and then it's got the blue label on it, and it says dry and damaged hair. So obviously I should be protesting right now.
Let's not take it there.
What about just dealing with your hair not being dry and damaged? Start there, then who cares what you buy?
You're so quiet in the corner there. Turn your microphone up a little bit. Hello, Mbulelo.
How are you doing?
Good. What did you say?
I said maybe not have dry and damaged hair.
Yeah, but
deal with that.
It's because I'm using.
Who cares what you buy?
Listen, I'm using this stuff, so I'm not so dry and damaged. All right.
Oh.
Racist. Okay.
September of 2020, where shampoo is politicized.
I know, but you who was it who said that? This week. It was Pumi. She said it's just it's the EFF trying to stay relevant. And it's also because we needed. Oh, you know who I saw on the internet yesterday? And I thought that was a very good point being made is Big Daddy Liberty, Sihle Ngobetsi. And he said, you people are being, the word he uses is dribbled. He says, you people are being dribbled. Basically, this is all a made-up thing in order to get people pissed off about nothing. You know, like you upset about something, buy it, don't buy it. That's kind of, you know, someone was complaining on my Instagram a week or so ago. They were saying, I don't like your point of view on something. It could have been Russia. It could have been American politics. Take your pick. So I said to them, no. You have two options. Follow me or unfollow me. You don't get to tell me what to do. We should all be saying that on social media to people. Just follow me or unfollow me, you know? If Pinky and I are so... Like, there's a friend of mine who started to really irritate me because she's so ideological about everything. And I like having friends who have different points of view. But she's made it so difficult for any normal conversation to happen on social media that I actually just said to her the other day, I sent her a DM and said, like, listen, if you are so intent on being so woke and so ideologically... opposed to everything that I do, then rather just unfollow me, because I think it's bad for your mental health. Like, it doesn't affect me. But I said to her, if you're going to carry on like this, then let's rather not be friends, because I won't be missing anything, but you certainly would be happier and healthier if what I'm saying wasn't driving you so crazy. You know, we've got to stand our ground, but at the same time, we don't have to look for reasons to make ourselves unhappy. So she said, okay, she will, and she's going to leave. So that's fine. We won't be friends.
And you don't care about the friendship?
No. I have lots of friends.
No? All's well that ends well, then.
Bulelo could not help.
Confrontation like that, do you know Bulelo, where you're at and how important you are?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you just need to, and look, I'm perfectly okay with moving on. Once a friendship is, you know, it's like fruit on a tree. Once it's ripened, you eat the fruit, and then what are you going to do? Carry on gnawing at the pip?
So, imagine someone describing me as just a pip.
Gnawing on the pip. So yesterday was so funny because we were doing the show with Gord, and Bulelo wasn't on the show, but he's running things from the studio for us. And you could see it was just driving him crazy because I was talking about eating chips or sweets or whatever it was, and he was horrified. And so he gave me like a lecture and said, you know, this is the body you're going to have in the middle of summer, so welcome, fatso, basically.
Whatever body people are carrying now, you know, there's all this 21 days of hope for abs or whatever crap people talk about.
Yeah.
If you're a fatty now, you're a fatty in December. I heard some guy... Listen, it's too late now.
But it's only September, though. September, do people not have enough time?
No chance. This thing of 21 days for a new habit is all like Oprah crap. Real habits take like 6 to 12 months to form.
Sorry.
Bring my mother into dieting, because you know my dear mother has ballooned.
Yeah. Did you say Oprah crap?
Yeah, it's like her and Gail sitting with good lighting, just going on about how...
No, but hang on.
You know, I just feel like this is my month. This is it, Gail.
Yeah, you need to handle this.
No, it's not.
Yeah, see,
how dare you?
Oh, sorry.
My mother, my dearest Oprah, has even written a book about dieting. And then she wrote a cookbook about how to eat well. And right now, you just mind your own business, because she is counting her points. She gives herself 30 points every single day in order to eat well. So right now, as she's quarantined, you know, she goes over and she picks an avocado from her orchard and she minds her own business.
Hang on,
okay?
Didn't you say that she's just become very fat?
I acknowledge the fact that she's yo-yoed over the years.
No, but right now, okay. What's she like right now? Like Hindenburg Zeppelin size? Or
No. Oh, right now, would she still sweat in front of a bucket of chicken? Yes. But is she more in control of her food? Yes, as well. So please, don't make her sound like a lost cause.
Fair enough. What happened to her stage genes? There was a time when she had those stage jeans. What happened to those?
What were stage jeans?
The Calvin Klein ones?
No, remember when she was talking about her weight on stage and she showed her jeans on stage? Remember those back in the day?
Those have been brought back into circulation.
Gareth.
So anyway, the other thing that...
the highest rated show, Random Fact.
So I know Mbulelo can't wait to talk about this, and maybe you have some insight here, Pinks, because you're about to, you know, get married and... There are a whole lot of things that come with that. Last night I went for dinner with one of my friends who did a gender reveal. It was very cute. But as I said, I have a zero gender reveal policy. So people must get upset with me if they invite me and I don't pitch. But it's not because of them. I love them, but I'm not interested in a gender reveal. And I know you think this is the biggest waste of time too. So you're going to agree with me on this one, right?
So stupid. Like, you know what, you have a party for gender reveal for your child. Like, how ridiculous is that? Come on, guys. What are we doing there now? And you know what, the worst part, let me tell you the worst part about it is when people expect presents for that. Like, oh, my child's a boy, we'd like a pot for the house as well. Like, what? And then you want a wedding present as well.
No.
Gender reveal's stupid. Like, let's stop.
Some feedback. Let's go straight to that this morning, because we usually get to it later in the show and then people are irritated with me. Shivesh is saying, Good morning, guys. Could you please stop cutting the podcasts a minute too early? It's been happening a lot this week. It kind of ends 7/8 through the conversation. I'd like the last 1/8, please. Peace and love, peace and love.
We'll work on it.
Yeah. Do you know what's going on there?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what's happening.
All right. Then this point being made by Vincent. Vincent says, I've never seen so many people with no hair complain about shampoo. He's referring to the EFF. That's a great point. And Sia, he also asks, would Oprah fit in a rowboat?
Wow.
She might fit in it, but it will probably sink.
She can make her own diamond-encrusted rowboat. So how about you row that boat gently down the stream?
All right.
Please, I'm trying to have a peaceful morning. Let's not go down this Oprah road.
Very sad, someone says, that Clicks feels so bullied by these delinquent EFF people. Can't you get the CEO on the show? To do what? I hear you, Ruth, but do I want to like make it even harder for the guy? He's just trying to hold on to his job and hold on to the jobs of all the people who work for him. And he's just trying to be as woke as possible so they won't till eat him last. That's kind of what happens. You can see this in America, too, with everyone going down on the knee and wearing Black Lives Matter and putting it on the shop front saying, Black Lives Matter, on the front of their shop just so Black Lives Matter won't destroy their shop. And then they do. So I'm afraid this is a lesson they've got to learn.
I actually went to Clicks yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
I had to pick up a prescription.
That's brave of you.
Yeah, well, I'm trying not to fall pregnant, you know.
So, yes, of course.
I mean, that's where I pick up my contraceptives.
And when
I got there, and there was a huge sign that the Clicks will be closed, but it should be open today. So I'll go try again today and see how that goes.
But you see how dumb this whole thing is? Like, if you're really offended, wouldn't you be protesting a week or two later as well? It's all just in the moment because it's a reaction to something. Mm-hmm. And it just proves, like, today Pinky will probably go there and there'll be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will be back to normal. Well, we can only hope. But it shows you can see how it's all outrage Olympics, you know. There's a great Netflix documentary called The Social Dilemma, which you guys must watch, according to Gareth. Another Gareth, that's on me, obviously. And then somebody said that we've got to all steal the look of the granny. You know the granny who held the gun to those dudes? So what you need is stretch skinny jeans in blue for 589 rand. A surgical mask, standard, 49 rand. Long sleeve t-shirt, black, 239. Sleeveless down vest in dusty pink, 449. And then the boots, leather riding boots, brown, 990 rand. Plus, of course, the pistol, which is a 9mm in black, 9,500 rand. So you could steal that look, according to, I think it's Woolworths. Isn't that a good idea? Then you can look like that granny.
I still refuse to believe that she's 51.
I know, she's a chalk. I mean, it's silver hair.
She's not 51.
Although,
right?
I've noticed, listen, I know three friends in their 30s who are silver hair. Yeah. Sometimes it hits hard. Uh-huh.
Like Clooney silver or Ted Danson silver? Because there's two different types, you know?
Probably more Clooney silver than Ted Danson silver, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I saw one of my friends who I haven't seen for ages. I had lunch with him on Thursday last week. I think I told you I went out for lunch and it was mostly very pleasant. And, you know, things are kind of going back to normal. And it was good to see him, but man, he's gone silver. He's got three kids, so he's got two daughters and a son. And I think the eldest is probably 6 or 7 or 8. And then the youngest is still a toddler. And this guy's silver, man.
It's strength.
Yeah, being a parent. You're...
But don't let yourself go. It's a slippery slope once you've
let the kids go.
That.
Yeah.
Let the kids go. Don't let yourself go.
Right. Anyway, so we're going to steer clear of politics until the burning platform a bit later on. But Mbulelo trained much too hard on Monday morning, and his neck has been destroyed. So he actually went to Skin Sense for a massage or something. So how did that go for you?
Yeah, it was quite weird, hey? Usually, my whole life, it's like a massage must be for my function. Like,
You would go for a sports massage, one of those.
Yeah, sports massage, chiro, hyperbaric chamber. I mean, that's generally how I recover. Mm-hmm. But yesterday it was like I was supposed to be there for your classic sort of Susan relax kind of thing, you know, like the lady wants to chat.
Susan one.
You know, like...
Here comes his hatred of the white suburban woman.
Oh, no, I see you.
Susan can be from Marabastad, guys.
No.
That's for Susan.
You're lying.
Otherwise, you'd say Susan.
There's another type, but there's a type.
Susan.
Yeah. Susan, yeah.
Anyway, this lady's like... Susan. Who's a racist now? You guys are racist.
Racist. You know, we live in a really interesting country. If we can't mock each other, what's left? Anyway, so you go there.
Best.
So did you have a little massage?
No, like full-on Swedish massage. But I mean, this lady, like, it's obviously her clients are the types of people that go there twice a week and their job is brunch, you know? Mm. I can tell. It's like, hey, shout out to the ladies at Skin Sense. Super polite, super great. But to me, it was interesting to not go, because I went in with the mentality is fix my body so I can get out of here. Like a full hour, rub down, a robe, like...
This
like,
is what Sia lives for. I mean, you just, you're making a mockery of what Sia does for fun. And funnily enough, I was thinking yesterday, you know what I really need is a massage.
Hmm.
And here
but
you
why?
Are, and you're disappointed by this. So what's your problem?
No, like, I mean, if it's not functional for me, it was just interesting. Maybe I'm too curmudgeonous.
Everything has to be suffering.
Yes.
You're like Didn't it feel good, Mbulelo?
Yeah. No, because I'm still not fixed. Like it was good in the sense, like, okay, I relax for an hour or whatever, but I'm like my neck still, I still have to go hyperbaric chamber on Saturday and then two chiro sessions on Sunday. It's the only way.
I feel like you probably even refuse to wear a robe. Like, no, robe, not practical. And you kept running shorts on.
Sia indulges in the whole experience. He puts on those little slippers. He sits in the lounge and has some water. Then he might have some, what kind of tea is it that you have afterwards?
Ooh, this chamomile, green, jasmine. Ooh.
So he has all of that. Then he makes a day of it. So he'll go for the massage, but then he'll also have the pedicure.
A facial.
Right, Sia?
My favorite sensation is when you are so lathered and lubed and oiled up, you feel like you can't even touch and turn the doorknob. That's how like soft you are. You can't even turn your own door open.
Oh wow.
That's what I live for.
Mbulelo wants to get out as soon as he started.
Yeah, I just like, oh man, 20 minutes, let's get out of here, body shop, let me. But it was interesting. Maybe I just don't know how to actually just enjoy things, you know? I was thinking about that.
No, you
night.
Don't. This is why you are single and you have so few friends.
You've said
what? I just want to picture it. Mbulelo, what's your version of small talk? So you and the therapist are there, or the masseuse.
It must be so horrible having small talk with Mbulelo.
What is small talk for you?
Well, I mean, she's like, hey, how are you? How are you? How's things? Like, you don't really care. Like, I understand you're here to do a job, lady. Do it, and then I'm going to leave. But we don't have to do this. It's not adding to my experience, you know? But to her, maybe that's just what it is. To me, I'm just like, hey, fix my body. I want to get out of here. Don't worry about who I am. I'm just a piece of meat here. Let me get out of here. But to her, it's sensual, and she's talking, and she wants to engage. And
I would have preferred to sit in silence.
Dead silence. Dead silence. Know, do your job. Let me get out of here.
Sia and Mbulelo could not be more different.
Mm.
Warren says, hey, Mbulelo, did you go to that for that massage in Switzerland?
He
knows. He says, I mean, if you have to have a mediocre massage here in South Africa, how did it compare with your experiences in the rest of the world, Mbulelo?
Here we go. Although, hey, having said that, actually, great little transition there is when I did my ACL, I did spend 3 months in a Swiss-like high recovery sports center.
He knew
and
you.
There it, all
he,
functional.
He knew you were going to say that. He also says, haha, just kidding, guys. I love the show. And believe it or not, I really like Mbulelo.
Oh. I don't believe that.
No, but I'll tell you, I've been to Skin Sense for a number of massages. I know Pinky has been and Sia, and I've always had a very good time there. It's very relaxing. I think you're looking for something different. You're looking for a sports massage, or you're looking for you actually want therapy for your body.
Functional. They are brilliant. They are brilliant. I must say, shout out Skin Sense.
So what were you doing when you damaged your neck?
I did a workout too hard on Sunday, and then Monday I pushed it again, and it was just, yeah, push-ups, sit-ups, and I pushed it into the red. No good.
I think you might be impressed with me, because for the last 3 weeks solid, I have done 45 push-ups every morning.
Jeez.
Is that good?
That's solid. Yeah. Yes.
Not 45 in a row. So I'll do 15, then 15, then 15. Does that still count?
I've also been working out.
It's less impressive, but it still counts.
You've been working out, Pinks?
I've been working out too.
Mm-hmm.
3 times a week, and it's going well.
Good.
I'm actually using the treadmill for running now and not just walking.
Very good.
So that's quite an improvement for me.
Yeah, that's nice. Awesome. That's very, very good. One of my friends said that they'd lost weight, and that, now they're finding that their husband's more attracted to them than they were before. So yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
That is awesome, man.
She's feeling
Pinky,
very good
that's what
it.
You have to look forward to.
Pinky, someone just commented here when you said that you were going to Clicks for birth control. They said, oh, no, I'm so disappointed. Is Pinky not waiting till she's married to Pump?
As that ship lobs,
it's sailed a long time ago.
Bulelo, this might be useful information for you. Neil says there is no better massage than that little place next to the Grand. He he he. That's from Neil.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he's going for one of those massages.
Good to know, Neil.
Yeah, that's a different kind
but
of therapy.
But it's good to know.
Yeah. Damon used to tell us about how he would go for massages with happy endings.
Oh.
You know how
An
sorry...
An honest to God shiver just ran down my spine.
You know how sorry I used to feel for those women who would have to administer that to him?
Is that legal?
No.
I'm sorry to seem naive. No. Okay, so it isn't.
No, it's not. He never revealed where he would go, but he used to tell me these stories, like, you know, back before he got married. And I felt so sorry. I didn't even know who these women were. And I was like, oh, Jesus, this has got to be a human rights issue.
I didn't feel sorry for him back then. That's very pitiful.
It's pitiful. That's exactly the word. All right. Do you want to get into some headlines? Let's see what's going on. Let's see what's happening in the world. All right. First things first, from ENCA, Cyril Ramaphosa has paid tribute to the legal eagle, George Bezos, who died last night. Oh, I know this is a horrible thing to say, but I was kind of annoyed because our show was meant to start at 8:30, and because of George Bezos dying, it started at 9, which obviously affects the ratings, and I'm kind of pissed off about that.
We were texting last night, and I said, hey, did you see the update? You know, the show's delayed. And you said, I'm annoyed. And I honestly cranked up thinking, let's not ever mention this again, and then whoop. Here you are. That was a little insensitive, though.
Well, I've just got to be honest with you. That's the thing I do. I mean, if I had to arrive here every morning and pretend to be someone who is deep and sensitive and caring and you know, empathetic, then you'd know I was bullshitting right away. I'm not good at acting.
George Bezos was a great leader. He did amazing things for the country. And, well, a lot of people who were watching for, you know, his celebration of life trickled into our audience as well.
All right.
Worked out.
If you say, we'll see when the ratings come out. Anyway, so... as an adjacent story to our ratings, George Bezos died.
That's a little shoulder content, huh?
Yeah.
So
in the antechamber to our show, something happened in the world.
I will leave this to Mbulelo and Pinky's responsibility. I'm asking you nicely, please, because I can't trust Gareth with this. Please don't ever let me, when I die, be referred to as a pip, number one, and number two, as an annoyance to someone's programming schedule. Please, yeah. Mbulelo and Pinky, can you just do that for me?
Anyway, if you watched our show last night, thank you for waiting through the death of George Bezos in order to do so. He was a big deal, and he was actually our guest on our show last night, Professor David Block posted a bunch of pictures because he interviewed George Bezos in our studios. And I'd met George Bezos once or twice. An incredible guy. He was South Africa's preeminent human rights lawyer. He died at the age of 92. And, of course, he represented Nelson Mandela during the Rivonia trial, which saw Mandela and seven others sentenced to life imprisonment in 1964 on charges of seeking to overthrow the apartheid government. Many had expected the death penalty for Mandela, but, you know, Bezos was such a good lawyer. And remember, he was in his youth then, that he managed to argue that... imagine how the world would have been different if George Bezos has been a less competent lawyer and Nelson Mandela had got the death penalty. Imagine.
Oh, so, crazy.
No small contribution to South Africa. And, of course, he continued to be a really important and incisive legal mind, one of the architects of our Constitution, a prominent anti-apartheid campaigner. He practiced as a lawyer into his late 80s. And one of his last major trials secured government payouts for 34 miners who were shot dead at Marikana in 2014.
What did Cyril say about that?
Cyril said, this is very sad for our country, basically.
No, I meant the Marikana thing.
No, he didn't mention that.
Oh, yeah, okay. He didn't.
Obviously,
he didn't
mention that. No, what are you insane?
No, well, okay. Sorry.
So, I'm, you know, as George Bezos, I couldn't say I had much more than a couple of cursory interactions with the man, but obviously an absolute genius. He was held in very high esteem for good reason. And, you know, at age 92, you could say that the guy had a good, full life. His contribution is enormous. I always feel there's something worthy of celebration. If you make it into your 90s and you've done as much as George Bezos did, then we can be sad, but we can't say it's a tragedy.
Mm.
You know, we can say that this man made an incredible impact on South Africa. Here's what Cyril said. Let's listen
just
to Cyril.
I received news that legal eagle of our country, George Bezos, has passed away. This is a very sad moment for our country. I spoke to George Bezos about 2 months ago, and even as I spoke to him, it did appear like his health was not in good shape. This afternoon, I spoke to Alexei, his son, and he told me that his father was facing great difficulties, and I asked him whether he was comfortable. And he said, yes, he was comfortable. So the news about George Bezos passing is sad news for us as South Africans.
That's more or less what the president had to say about it. But you could see he was quite visibly moved by the death of George Bezos. So obviously sad news for the country. That's your main story from yesterday. Eskom on EWN, Eskom have said that while no load shedding is planned for Thursday, the risk is still high. You know, now the news is there's no load shedding today, but we could still switch you off. It's turned into a debate. I don't know if you guys are having these conversations with people, but people making a plan, like getting batteries for their house and inverters, and this stuff is expensive, man. But I'm thinking that in order to not have problems with this show, I better put in some kind of battery or inverter situation, because we've had, touch wood, through lockdown, very few interruptions to the program. We've been here every morning. There've been one or two technical issues, but mostly we've been able to go ahead. And now I think that it's probably a good idea, considering that Eskom can just switch off the power whenever they need to, that I might need a battery and inverter system in my house. So I'm thinking seriously of spending the money so that we have a fallback. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing. You know, they don't want to be reliant on Eskom, or they don't want to be held hostage by load shedding. And for some of us who've been working from home, most of us who've been working from home, it's become a necessity now. So people are debating how much they should spend, whether they should put in solar, whether they should get off the grid completely. And obviously there are attendant costs to all of these things. Have you thought about it at all?
Of course.
No. I think everyone.
What are you considering?
I've got a couple of little inverters already. I can't stand the fact that I can't have power. But for me, we know already with Eskom is we are in the worst relationship ever. A friend of mine sent me yesterday, you know, the Eskom's a push app will send you a, hey, load shedding suspended. And I said, yeah, we shouldn't celebrate that. It's like, it's almost like a partner saying to you, hey, honey, I didn't cheat on you today. Like, no, no, no. That's, I'm supposed to have power. Don't, it's not news that I have electricity, by the way, Eskom. We shouldn't be, it's suspended, yay. No, like you shouldn't cheat on your wife or husband and then go and tell them like it's something to celebrate. It's mental.
Somehow all of your analogies go back to cheating and infidelity.
Well, everyone gets it. I mean, listen, you know, except Pinky, of course. She's in a faithful relationship that's gone to marriage now.
Well, the story is that Eskom has warned that while no load shedding is expected for today, the possibility remains high. They've managed to stave off rolling blackouts for 2 days now, but said any deterioration in generation performance could lead to the implementation of load shedding on short notice. And basically, they just...
What short notice as well?
Basically, they're saying to you, hey, if I get home, I might hit you. But if I don't hit you, you must be grateful.
That's exactly...
Right.
An abusive relationship.
I feel like we're back in the 90s and the 80s. I'm constantly sitting with my laptop plugged into the wall and my phone as well. I'm back to having a computer and a landline.
No good.
South Africans are trying to raise money for a petrol attendant who was pranked in a viral video. What was a prank meant to humiliate a person became a blessing in disguise for a petrol attendant from KwaZulu-Natal. I haven't seen this video, but South Africans have banded together to contribute funds to Siphamandla Ndabizita, who is a petrol attendant who works at the BP Quarry service station in Maritzburg. In a video secretly shot by an unidentified man and which went viral, a confused Ndabizita is seen holding two 10 rand notes given to him by the customer. He put 210 rands worth of petrol into the tank after the customer had asked him to. However, the customer then turns and says he'd asked him to pour 210 rand notes of petrol.
Yeah, it's just a sick thing. And I like the fact that people have banded up together because firstly, this person was doing it on purpose since he was filming it. But he says, look, please put 210 in for me, you know, in terms of how much petrol he wants. And so one would assume saying 210 means 210 rands, and that's what the attendant did. But then when it was time to pay, this guy goes, no, 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 I meant 210, as in 210 rands. No, look, this is how much I have, and he was only flashing 210 rand notes. So the attendant is so confused, doesn't know what to do. And this guy actually didn't even, like, break the joke and make it funny. No, he drove away.
You know what happens in a situation like that is the poor petrol attendant has to pay.
Yep.
The additional money in, and these guys are not earning a big salary.
It's shitty.
Yeah. This is so shitty in every way. So you know what? Whoever made that video, you should be ashamed of yourself.
You're a
horrible human being.
And now it was sweet, the fact that people were like, actually, you know what? We're going to give you 210. So like, it was now being into thousands that was donated to this guy.
Yeah. And
here's what's ridiculous.
What's that?
So this person, lady or man, went home and thought, oh, that's hilarious. You know where I'm going to put this? Social media. That's where I'm going to put it. Everyone's going to love this. Because who else could have posted
it? But he probably sent it to one of his friends, and the friends also, you know,
like
someone else.
Oh, like Katsavelos kind of thing.
I don't know what kind of people would find that funny. I can't think of one of my friends who would think that's hilarious. I mean, if you have friends who think that kind of thing is hilarious, you probably have psychopaths for friends. Anyway, I mean, all's well that ends well because they've managed to make a whole lot of money for this dude. And, you know, everyone is giving 210 because that was the number, so 210 rand. So the guy is probably going to get a nice bonus this month, which he deserves. You know, it's just so ugly. It's so ugly to see people behaving like shitheads. It's disappointing in this day and age. And to make a video like that, the person who made that video, you got to ask yourself, like, really, your sense of humor needs some serious work. The DA said that the coronavirus pandemic has confirmed the country's health system is not ready for national health insurance. Who agrees?
I.
It's not news.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that this is a valid point. So, Siviwe Warube, who is the DA's shadow minister for health, basically said that since Cyril Ramaphosa has praised some hospitals for putting building blocks in place to get ready for the country's vision of national health care, public hearings have been held in all the provinces and members of the public have made written submissions. The DA is not convinced Parliament will run a thorough process for considering these submissions. But they basically said, if you want to see how they would run the national health insurance, just look at how they've run everything else. And during this pandemic, there have been extra funds set aside for this, and it just hasn't helped many people to make things any better. And finally, Donald Trump, always in the news, is about to announce the U.S. troop withdrawals. Some 2,000 troops, by the looks of things, will be pulled out of Iraq, Afghanistan, and other places. What do you think of that?
Good for them.
Pretty good for them.
Well, America going to do what they do. Bless you.
Watch it still be a thing of negativity, and he will be receiving tons of backlash for it.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing. And this is what a lot of people don't seem to understand.
Oh, it's no, like, you're muted, Gareth.
Yeah,
no.
You muted yourself.
So the funny thing here, that's the most used sentence in 2020, right? You've muted yourself. So here's the funny thing. It's like everybody's always said, America is this dangerous, hegemonic, military state that's got imperialist interests and it's got troops all over the world. Now, let's just look at this, and I loved this headline yesterday because some Norwegian on the Nobel Prize Committee has nominated Donald Trump to get a Nobel Prize. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of leftist heads that are exploding this morning. And you can imagine CNN like shitting themselves and setting themselves on fire last night because they couldn't believe that this evil, warmongering orange man, none of which is true except the orange part, is now going to be thought of for a Nobel Prize. Because, you know, like everybody's hero, Barack Obama, got one just for being Barack Obama. He even said when he accepted it, he's like, I'm not even sure why I'm getting this award. And Donald Trump, who has not started a single war, he's the only president in living history to have not started a single war. The only military activities that have been carried out under Donald Trump was the taking out of that Soleimani guy. You know, in that strike against him, he was the Iranian terrorist, and they took him out with zero civilian casualties. Very targeted approach. Donald Trump has not started any wars. He has not gone and interfered in the sovereignty of other countries. You remember Barack Obama, without Congress's consent, started a war in Libya. Remember that? George W. Bush started Iraq and Afghanistan. Before that, Bill Clinton got involved in Somalia, in the Balkans, and also in the Middle East. And Donald Trump seems to have been doing some work to sort out the UAE and Israel and their relations. They're going to open up normal diplomatic relations, a major breakthrough. If he gets another term, I'm going to make a prediction that he's probably going to end up massaging the relationship between Saudi Arabia and Israel to the point where they might even have normal diplomatic relations. These would be major achievements.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, certainly what he's already achieved is worthy of a Nobel Prize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill Clinton was nominated for similar things when he had the famous Yasser Arafat, and it wasn't Netanyahu, it was Shimon Peres at the time. So let's see what happens, but you know, here again, he's now withdrawing troops from places like Afghanistan and Iraq. Most presidents just added troops to the situation. Certainly, the last three did. So,
well, the president liked the idea of being nominated because he was tweeting up a storm about it.
But you know, he's trolling all his enemies. That's what he's doing. So anybody who says, oh, well, Donald Trump's this dangerous, evil man, orange man bad. Yes, of course, he's got the most abrasive personality in the universe. But actually, Earth is probably less warlike and volatile right now while he's president than it has been under any previous administration. Let's take that into consideration. You can't make shit up. Like the facts are evident for everybody to observe.
Gareth, it's 2020. Yes, you can make shit up.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
That's the thing. People make shit up and they run with it.
But you know,
having said that, we don't need to commend him for not having a war. This isn't just a Trump thing. It's like No, that's what you should be doing. That's where we should be going. But also another thing about geopolitics, tragically, the only way we frame it is, it is all about economics. We must stop this nonsense that America wants to go out and help people. And that's everyone, by the way. Anyone, nobody's sending troops anywhere to be nice. There's always an economic factor. Let's accept that. Like, if people could just accept that up front, that everything that happens geopolitically is economically driven. Don't be out there about helping. There's no helping people. There's what's in it for us. And that's all sure. countries, by the way, not
absolute.
Just America.
I mean, what are you, naive to think otherwise? Yeah.
Well, then people are, I don't know why people are disappointed. It's like, oh, we expected him to be helping. No,
because
like it's all about money.
What they're really doing is they want a daddy. You know, I mean, like, I've got a friend in America who sent me this thing. It's like, I can't believe that they're going to give Donald Trump the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm like, he's such a horrible person. And I said to this guy, what are you looking for, a fucking girlfriend? he's now a politician. You know, he started off in business. He's now a politician. What are you looking for, a girlfriend? You want a best fishing buddy, as someone said on the burning platform a while ago? That's not what he's there for. Anyway, let's leave him alone. I don't want to go down the Trump road so early in the morning. So, okay, those are your headlines. Pinky, we've been talking a little bit about black women's hair this week, but you went for a new hairdo, and you say that you had an incredible experience. It was in Cape Town, and you mm-hmm. usually, I mean, you've only lived in Cape Town for a short while. So tell us about what this is like.
So I Ubered to the Cape Town CBD, mm-hmm. found this other hair salon on Google, and I called the guy. His name is Zachariah. He's like, no, come through, my sister. We'll do your hair. Good price.
Already,
you know?
Siblings. Mm-hmm. Okay, my sister. mm-hmm.
So I got there. At like 9:30. And initially, I was actually a bit worried because you guys know my hair is quite short. So mm-hmm. I was just wondering, like, what are they going to hold on to? But he promised me that I shouldn't worry. Everything will be fine. I got there, and initially there was one lady working on my hair. Then the next thing, there's two ladies, three ladies, four, five, and then there was six. Dumb. There was literally six people pulling my hair at one go.
Six
people. And you see, the thing about braiding is that it can be quite painful, you know, like the pulling, the holding on,
it looks
the making
painful.
Sure the fiber is there. Oh man, so they were like literally pulling front, back. I didn't know what to do. I was actually even tearing up thinking, what am I doing?
It sounds like
how long did it last?
But this sounds a little bit like it's a military operation. Six people working on your head at the same time. How did they even get close enough to know what to hold?
They know how to do it. I don't know. There's even a way that they stand, you know, you don't just like, the first one has to stand here. Like, there's a certain position that they have to keep.
Right.
Even the last one. They it's a working method for them.
And these six people, how long do they take? Because Pumi has told us that when she sometimes goes for her hair to be braided, it can be hours and hours.
Oh man, it took me 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Oh my God.
Ooh. And then I had to go to the dentist and come back. So it took another 30 minutes. So I just like walked with that patch of hair that was still there. But I had a beanie, so.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And 3 hours.
So 3 hours.
I hear how painful it can be as well.
Yeah, it can be painful, and it can also cause a receding hairline.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but my hairline is good. I don't know if you guys can see that. Yeah, I've never really risked my hairline because I have a huge forehead, so I can't really afford to like lose any. Yeah, I can't afford to lose my hairline. So that actually is a concern right now. I'll probably keep this for a month only.
No, it looks good.
Oh, thank you, Garrett.
It looks very good. You know, I often think also, like, I'm a little bit jealous that I've never done anything dramatic with my hair. It's either a little bit longer or a little bit shorter, but really, you know, nothing quite as severe as the change in hair that I've seen some people, and particularly a lot of black women they'll go from like a big, like Diana Ross type hair to like the braids
to being bald.
And it's always like really dramatic because it does, if you've got good features, it can be amazing, right? Because then it complements whatever hair you've got, and it's almost like a different personality every time. I remember my bali used to do this. She'd pitch up for work one day and she'd look like a whole different person, but because you know, she had a pretty face. She could get away with any hairstyle. I know I could get away with maybe the one I've got. Maybe. I mean, some people think, you know, I shatter glass when I look into a mirror. But I've managed to live this long without frightening the children. And I know that if I changed my hair substantially, I would frighten the children. There's only so many things you could do with my hair anyway. So it's a double-edged sword. You know, as much as I know that black women in their relationship with their hair is so complicated, because some women absolutely love their hair and some people absolutely hate their hair and some think it's an important part of their identity and others think it's something to experiment and play with, like clothing. Whatever your thing is, there are ups and downs to all of that, which people like me who have the same, pretty much the same hairstyle their whole life long, we just never get to experience that way. So I find the whole thing fascinating. So what do you talk while these people are busy doing your hair? And do you make small talk like Mbulelo did with the massage?
No, language was also a barrier, so I couldn't really talk to them. I'd only say something if maybe one's pulling a bit too tight. Then I would like try to like signal to them like, "Oh, that's a bit too tight." So that was about it.
What language?
That's the only talking that happened.
What language are they speaking?
I'm actually not too sure. Hey,
was it like East African Swahili or something?
No, not Swahili. I think I heard one of them speak Portuguese.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they're from Mozambique.
Yeah, they could be from Mozambique.
Yeah.
For a good 3 hours, then you weren't making conversation.
That's so painful.
No, I just sat there with my folks.
What does it cost?
I paid 900 rand.
Yeah. South African.
Yeah, South African.
Yeah, 3 hours, Mbulelo.
900 rand.
That is just insane. What?
You don't even,
I paid 900 rand.
Mbulelo, at the moment, you don't even have hair. It's like Julius complaining about the Tresemme. I mean,
no, I'm saying my sister's boyfriend cut my hair in 15 minutes. I mean, there's not much to work with.
Yeah, all he
face,
did, was,
you said,
all he did is take one of those clipper things and
You could have, why didn't you cut it yourself? It's not that much for you to cut off.
There's certain things I've always believed. That's one thing you should outsource. You know,
I cut my hair and I think that went well.
Mm. When did you do your own hair? I don't remember that.
During lockdown. I shaved, but I wasn't actually going for the completely bald look. I was trying to have like a brush cut, and I think the settings were a bit too low, so there was no.
No, but you see, you still have wigs to help you out. And the great words of Meg the Stallion in the award-winning and earth-shattering song "WAP": "Switch my wig, make him feel like he cheating."
Yeah, there we go. Now there's a lyric.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. Sia, you would never cut your own hair.
No. I'm not qualified. It might be a small thing to other people looking in, but to me it's a major thing. I'm not qualified to do that. I feel like I need to do something different again. Similar to you, Gareth. I've never done anything drastic to my hair up until like a couple of years ago when I dyed it once.
What are you thinking?
But that lasted all of 2 seconds. I don't know.
Would you go for braids here? Yeah?
No. I'll do color. Let me think about it. Let's see.
Okay. Wow. I'm looking forward to that. I've always wondered what it's like to live in that world where your external appearance matters. I kind of gave up at 13, you know?
Yeah. No, you also...
kind of, when I went to high school, and then I just realized, like, there's better looking people, and some people have hit the genetic lottery. I've lost that.
You have just boiled down the simple dynamic as to why we're both so different.
Yeah. but it's because I've always wondered, what's that anxiety like? Because somewhere in your mind, you know that will fade. Like, I know my brain will be okay till I'm 60, 65.
Ah, dementia.
We don't know.
Oh, well, give or take. I mean, the genetics are good. I've done the stats with my family, zero dementia in my family. So let's see, hold thumbs. But no matter, I don't care how good looking you are. 35, 40, I'm about to hit that. Your looks are going to go, and everybody knows that. The death is coming for you. and that anxiety must be real.
Yeah.
I'm quite into not let your nonsense.
All right. Well,
come to me.
Well, we do have to find out from Bulelo before he goes what's happening on Cliff Central Sports. So give us a quick update on this week and what we've missed so far, if we can go and watch that again.
So we had Africa's top sports lawyer on Tuesday, and he was fascinating. Fray Razano talking about all of the legal elements in sport. When you hear big numbers being thrown about, is, hey, this player's been bought for £100 million with this type of bonus, etc. What's actually happening in that deal? What holds up those kinds of things? That was unbelievably interesting. Caster Semenya's type of cases, he deals with that as well. He deals with entertainment law, so some really interesting things, how the movie industry works legally and entertainment. And then last night we had probably South Africa's greatest, arguably surfer outside of Jordy Smith. We had Bianca Batendach on last night. Fascinating figure. I mean, she's been a champion for 10 years now, since she was 17. Right. Really interesting to get into the mind of a champion. And like from teenage years to be a champion from then. And it was interesting to hear her talk about being, you know, women, it's so difficult when you're in puberty, you're growing. But at the same time, as a female surfer, you're this glamorous blonde figure, and her struggles with that and kind of coming through that. Really, really interesting to hear from her. So, yeah, been a really cool week. And then tonight we'll have Vodie Miller back. We'll chat a bit of rugby. Of course, the Premier League is back this weekend. And you can go to MKT Show FPL if you want to play fantasy football for the Premier League.
Is that back?
It is back. Good. So fantasy football. All right.
Do you know do you know how huge fantasy football is in America?
Huge. So different, but that's different. That's their football. For us, listen, I know a guy who literally got divorced because he got so into fantasy football and fantasy baseball. It's a cult-like movement. I mean, we're talking a $1 billion industry there.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So make sure you don't miss Cliff Central Sport. Thank you very much for the suggestion. I got a great idea from Tato. Tato saying that there's a new book by Dikgang Moseneke out. You might be interested in this too, Pinky. All Rise. It's a judicial memoir by Dikgang Moseneke, who was the previous deputy chief justice of the country. So there's something that may be worth reading. Hey, Gareth, I already took in what you said a couple of weeks ago. We should say that the ANC is load shedding and not ESCOM. Let's hold the ones truly responsible accountable. That's a point from Kerry. And someone says, that's what I said on my stream about human beings. How the hell does that person who was lambasting that woman, does it give her heart knuckles to be... I don't know what you're talking about here, Ruth. Sorry, I'm going to leave that out. Hi, Neil here. Neil is an expat who lives in Prague, listens to our show when he trains in the morning. The story about the petrol attendant is a disgrace. Please send me his banking details so I can pay him 210 Rand and challenge anyone else to match. Let's get this man a big payday. Well, it's already happening, Neil. And you can find all the details on Twitter.
Yeah, just search 210 for Wiseman.
Yeah. Gareth, please upload your So What Now show onto YouTube. Yeah, I'm in such conversations with the powers that be at ENCA at the moment to have that done. I don't know why, but you know, you can get Devi's show on YouTube, but for some reason you can't get ours. So I'm going to have to argue with them some more. God alone knows. And then when I tried to grow a beard at 17, this is from a man, don't worry, Vinny. My dad.
We wouldn't discriminate if it was from a Veronica, right?
Yeah, right. When I tried to grow a beard at 17, my dad said something that really screwed me up for a few years. He said, that stuff you're trying to grow on your chin grows wild on my ass. I think my dad was being a dickhead.
Like that. I would have just forgotten his birthday when it rolled around. Absolutely. What a horrible thing to say.
All right, coming up, the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. This morning we're going to have some really interesting conversations, and you could be part of that in the next hour on cliffcentral.com. Make sure you don't go anywhere. It's with Canthan Pillay, and we'll speak to Gabriel Krauser this morning as well from the IRR. Lots of things to talk about, and if you have any suggestions, you can send those in to us on 079-748-2090.